on 4th and Inches podcast. Listeners, you got Dan, Kevin, Stevie P coming at you. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, boys? What's going on, world?
What's up, everybody?
All right, so it's our Wednesday podcast where we, you know, get into a little Thursday night preview. We, you know, go over some of the guys we're high on this week, and we do a little star sit questions. But first, don't forget to check us out on our website at www.4thandinchesff.com. It's www.4thandinchesff.com for a bunch of content. You got articles, blogs, player profiles, rankings, and you can subscribe to our VIP content. This will give you access to DFS info, and it'll also keep you updated on the cheat codes, which we will be keeping updated monthly. So check us out, and also look for us on the Fantasy Life app. We've been doing start sit questions on there throughout the year. And don't forget about those FanDuel tournaments if you want to get in. Remember, it's $2 a person. We're not, you know, breaking your arm to get in here. But, no, you know, you get to compete against us in a $2 FanDuel tournament. And, you know, if you are interested in that, hit up Stevie P in the podcast show notes, and we'll get back to you. And if you're listening to the podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button and give us a 5-star rating. And next, we'll do the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right. So Devontae Adams, still dealing with that toe injury, did not participate in Wednesday's practice. You had Alvin Kamara was absent from practice today. You had Todd Gurley actually practicing today, so that's a good sign for the Rams. Chris Thompson was not practicing today. I know some of you guys out there are still rolling out Chris in PPR leagues. Mason Rudolph is no longer in the concussion protocol and is fully cleared, so he looks like he will be the starter going forward in Pittsburgh, unless they feel more comfortable with Devin Hodges, obviously. David Johnson did not practice on Wednesday. Packers signed wide receiver Ryan Grant. Packers coach Matt LaFleur said there's no plans to reduce Jimmy Graham's role moving forward. I don't know why they reduced it. They need to increase it. No practice today for George Kittle, DJ Jones, or Debo Samuel for the 49ers. John Gruden said Tyrell Williams has plantar fasciitis and it's not getting much better. I know what you mean. I've had plantar fasciitis and it's not fun. AJ Green was sidelined for Wednesday's practice. Pete Carroll said Rashad Penny should practice today. John Brown was a limited participant with a groin injury that showed up today. This could be intriguing. He's got a really good matchup with Miami. Callahan mentions that Darius Geis could return to practice in the next week or so. That's definitely something to keep an eye on. You know, he might be on waiver wires. And you might want to add him to your squad. He gets back. He might be a starting running back. You never know how they're going to be out there. The Saints are signing free agent running back Zach Zenner. Source said as insurance in case Alvin Kamara can't go. Will Disley had surgery. Will have surgery tomorrow on his torn Achilles. He's out for the season, but he should be good to go at the beginning of next season. Emmanuel Sanders will be good to go for tomorrow night's game. Sammy Watkins, however, has been ruled out for tomorrow night's game. We'll get into that preview after the news. Marquise Brown is not practicing on Wednesday. Browns GM John Dorsey admitted Wednesday he has spoken to Redskins GM Bruce Allen regarding a potential trade for left tackle Trent Williams, but suggested Washington isn't willing to move him. Man, they're just letting Trent Williams rot. Mm-hmm. That's the epitome of a bad franchise. Like, you got an asset, and you're just not going to move forward from him to better your team.
Just being stubborn. Just being stubborn dumbasses. That's basically all it is.
Yep. Coach Cliff Kingsbury said Christian Kirk remains in the rehab phase. Matt Nagy is cautiously optimistic Mitchell Trubisky will play in Week 7 against the Saints. That is probably good news for the Saints. Saquon Barkley is practicing in full today for week 7 against the Cardinals. It looks like you're going to have Saquon and also Evan Ingram practice in full today. So they could both be ready for this Sunday against the Cardinals. Both have a good matchup, especially Ingram with the Cardinals defense.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper is not practicing on Wednesday with that quad injury. Devin Singletary is practicing in full and should be ready to go this Sunday against the Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick is officially named the starter for Miami against Buffalo.
I want to get into that real quick. What? Like, why? Why? You know what I mean? Like, why start Fitzpatrick? Like, is he the beginning of your franchise? Like, you traded Rosen. Just let him take his lumps. Like, I don't get it.
They don't want Rosen to be good. They want Rosen to stink so that they can go get a quarterback. They don't want to. They don't.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you – okay, so let's say for – you know, like you're saying, they don't want him to be good. Okay, but if he shows a little something, maybe somebody's interested and maybe they get some of that second-round pick that they gave up to get him. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if somebody gives him a third or a fourth, you know what I mean? Like, they're getting something back. Like, at this point, they're just holding on to an asset that's not – you know what I mean? Like why? Like, why are you not playing this dude? It don't make no sense. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick won't even be in the league next year. Like, after this year, Ryan Fitzpatrick's done. Like, I don't get it.
Crazy.
It doesn't make much sense. I mean, but I just think that – I just think they're trying to go full tank.
I think so, too. But, you know what I mean, even Josh Rosen is, to me, full tank. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care who quarterback you put on this team. They're not winning. Like, you can put Aaron Rodgers on this team. They're not winning. This offense is bad. This defense is bad. The offensive line is one of the worst in the league, if not the worst in the league. Like, I don't care what quarterback you give this team. They're not winning.
Yep. Last two news items was Baker Mayfield was not practicing today before the team heads to bye. He's dealing with a hip injury. And Doug Peterson said DeSean Jackson is getting close, more of a day-to-day situation for the Eagles right now. I can't believe we skipped over this. I don't even know. I didn't even see it in the notes, but, of course you probably heard Marcus Peters was traded to the Ravens for a 5th round pick and linebacker. I think it was Kenny Jones, something very easy.
Yeah. I'm blanking too. It's a special teamer. Not even somebody that's going to start.
Probably not. Yeah. And then they went out and traded 2 first-round picks and a 4th-round pick to get Jalen Ramsey. So now the Rams have, you know, Jalen Ramsey. The Ravens have Marcus Peters, and the Jaguars have a bunch of draft compensation. So, you know, what do you guys think about that trade? How do you feel?
I think that Akeem Talib has been hurt for a couple of weeks, and they just have been playing him because they needed him out there. And finally they said, all right, you know, we're going to let you heal up. And now that they got Ramsey, when, you know, Akeem Talib comes back, this is a scary secondary.
Should have been a great secondary with Peters, but, I mean, he there was just no chemistry from the start on the end of this year. I know that they've looked good prior years, but this team just has not been good all year. They've just been a bad team offensively and defensively this year.
The things with Peters is he's not really all that great. The dude gets turnovers.
Peters is a poor man's Asante Samuel.
I was literally thinking when Steve said turnovers, that's what I thought, because Asante would get burnt like toast constantly, but then he'd make up with it with 2 picks in the game. So he was always doing it.
That is Marcus Peters. And, you know, in some systems that can thrive, but, you know, you saw, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Who was it the play where Marcus Peters just got burnt?
You're talking about against the Seahawks. Against the Seahawks. What's his name? Oh, my God. The rookie for the Seahawks.
DK Metcalf.
Yeah, DK Metcalf, 41-yard touchdown, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it happens. You know, this guy, that's what this guy is. And, you know, to me, my question about it is, how are they going to pay Jalen Ramsey? You're already paying Goff starting next year. You're already paying Aaron Donald $100 million. Gurley is the highest paid running back, I'm pretty certain. Like, how are you paying this guy? You're basically doing this is basically the epitome of how you go backwards to me. You're supposed to build your team from inside out. You can't build all these skill positions and not build your line. Your line right now is what's getting your team killed because you can't develop your run. Therefore, you can't set up the play action, which is the reason your whole offense has been successful. So basically, your whole offense looks like shit, which is what we've seen from the Rams pretty much all year. So you go out and get Jalen Ramsey. That's fine. Nice. You give up two first rounders and a fourth. But if you pay this guy, you're not drafting. You're not going to be able to draft high-end first round linemen. You're going to be waiting till later on in the draft to do it. And I mean, we've seen what this team obviously is not good at getting linemen. They've, you know, this year they've been terrible. And this is two new linemen. Obviously, Andrew Whitworth is getting up there in age and he's going to be done soon. I think they had to, you know, beg him to come back and instead of retiring. So, you know, while Jalen Ramsey, obviously the name is a great thing for this team, I just think that they're building their team completely opposite direction. You build your team. You build from the inside out. And, you know, it's nice to have all these skill position players, but if Jared Goff can't get him the ball or, you know, it just seems like they're going in the wrong direction to me. I don't see – if they pay Jalen Ramsey, they're not going to be able to do anything else but draft players, and they're not good at drafting linemen.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they let go of Saffold last year. That let up some – that opened up some salary for them. They just got rid of, you know, Marcus Peters, which, you know, that basically opened up a whole lot of salary. That's why they traded him. You know what I mean? They traded him to open up some salary to be able to get Ramsey. And then, next year, what's his name? Is going to retire. Their left tackle. What's his name? You just Whitworth. Said it. Yeah, Whitworth is going to end up retiring. So, you know what I mean? That's going to open up a little bit more. It just, you know, like
you're
you said, this
open up the salary money, but that Jared Goff is eating into a lot of that. He's not getting paid this year. He's going to start eating into a lot of that. Jalen Ramsey's going to eat into a lot of that.
Well,
so therefore, this line
they front-loaded Jared Goff's deal, though. So yeah. they knew, you know, that was going to be the deal next year. You know what I mean? Like, they were going to hurt for a year. And, you know, they'll front-load his deal, and then they'll work something out with Jalen and say, hey, listen, we'll give you this for the first 2 years, and then we'll backload your deal. That way your money doesn't coincide with Goff. You mean, they'll figure something out to wait, you know what I mean, where that can work out.
They're going
to
have to because – I think I said this on a previous podcast, you know, once you start having to pay that quarterback, the other positions start to not have to get paid. And, you know, you look at, like you said, losing Saffold, like this offensive line lost a big piece with Saffold and they look terrible this year. Jared Goff is getting pressure constantly. They can't run the ball. Do you think there's a possibility that they cut Todd Gurley?
No, if they were going to get rid of Gurley, they would trade him. Yeah, I don't see how.
Or trade him. Do you think they
would take it, that? Would like the cap hit of just dropping Gurley would be too much. Yeah, it would be way too much.
I guess I shouldn't have said cut. I'm saying just trade. Do you think that they trade Todd Gurley?
It's going to be hard to trade Gurley though, because you know what I mean. Everybody knows about that knee injury, and yeah, you know I mean he has a 5-year deal. This is the second year of his 5-year deal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's too much money. People are I doubt anybody is going to want to pick up that salary. I doubt it. If anything, I think that you're going to start seeing the receivers go. I mean, they're going to keep Kupp.
That's the thing. They got to pay Cooper Kupp this year. Cooper Kupp came in the same year that Goff did. So they're going to have to pay him this year.
Yeah, they're going to keep Kupp. And then, Brandon Cooks is probably the odd man out.
I think Woods is going to be the odd man out. Cooks just got a deal before last year when he got there. When he got there, they gave him a new deal last year. So I think Woods is going to wind up being the odd man out.
Yeah, and then also I think isn't this the last year of Tlaib's deal? I think this is the last year of Tlaib's deal too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So they'll be a good secondary for the rest of this year, but after this year, who knows what Tlaib does after this year? It's just to me. I know they're clearly in win now mode and they're trying to get their season back on track, but I just don't think this is a good long term move for the team.
They got to be in win now mode. They just went to the Super Bowl. I mean, their fan base is expecting.
Oh, obviously. I mean, they're. they're obviously in win now mode. I mean, it wasn't, I wasn't suggesting they weren't, but you know, like for the long term, like teams that sustain long-term success make moves that help them current and in the future. They don't just make moves to just say, all right, we're in win now mode. And then, you know, we'll figure it out in 4 years. Like, you know,
just look at the Patriots. I mean, that's how the Patriots do it. I mean, the Patriots, you don't see the Patriots make huge trade deals like that. They just don't. You know what I mean? They kind of know how to build players, and they know what they're looking for in players. They don't go for superstars. Like Antonio Brown, they didn't trade for Antonio Brown. I mean, Antonio Brown was a waiver wire pickup.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, they don't
trade for Antonio Brown last year.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Last year, Antonio Brown wasn't going like, you know, like a mad maniac idiot, you know what I mean, trying to have every team cut him.
Yeah.
I mean, and they traded for Josh Gordon, but literally that was not a big trade. They gave away it was a 6th round pick, you know what I mean, for Josh Gordon. Yeah. So, you know what I mean, like, you know, the Patriots are the franchise that you look at. And, you know, the Rams, you know, they have a plan, but I guess we're going to have to see how it comes to fruition, because honestly, it doesn't look like, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to work out. I like Ramsey as much as the next guy. I think Ramsey is a great player, but I don't think Ramsey helps the woes on offense that they're having. They're having some serious issues on offense, and it's the offensive line.
And it starts up front, and that's my concern, is that you're going to have to pay Ramsey, you're going to have to pay Goff, you're going to have to pay Cooper Kupp, and the offensive line is going to take a hit. Wentworth's going to retire, or Whitworth's going to retire, and now you're left with, I said Wentworth, J.G. Wentworth. so
call J.G. Wentworth. No, yeah. But serious. All right, so let's get into this.
Guess the jingle works.
Our nice game. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah, so
all right. Kansas City and Denver.
Right, you want me to start it up?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot from the Kansas City side that you're starting Mahomes, you're starting Travis Kelce, you're starting Tyreek Hill. The running backs, how do you guys feel about the running backs?
It's hard because I think I like Damian Williams a little bit more this week. I think that had more to do with, you know, they
I don't know what it had to do with, because they were trailing for a lot of that game.
No, they
really weren't. They were
17-3. Yeah, they were winning 17-3.
This is the problem. Like, Andy Reid don't run the damn ball ever. Like, this is his problem. It's been his problem since he was in Philly. Like, he just don't run the ball ever. I understand you got Patrick Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He's gimpy. Take a little pressure off him and hand the ball to Shady and Damian Williams. Give them each 10 to 15 carries and just take a little pressure off Mahomes. Like, if you're so one-sided on the ball, you're way too predictable on offense. And it don't matter how good your quarterback is.
It's probably why Andy's never won a Super Bowl, as good of a coach as he is. You know, without a doubt, a Hall of Famer. He's one of the top 5-10 best coaches in history, but he is so predictable because he has not changed anything up in 20 years of coaching. You can go into a game against him and know that he was probably going to run the ball a total of 10 to 15 times in that entire game.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that, you know, I think hurts this team, right, is they don't possess the ball for very long. Like, if you look at their time of possession, right? I'm just here looking at the you know, top teams in time of possession, right? They are the 30th ranked time of possession team. I mean, 26 minutes and 41 seconds they possess the ball. You know, that's basically, you know, what is it? 35 minutes is the most, and that's Baltimore. Now, if you're looking at the 2018 stats, it's the same thing. I mean, in 2018, they were 26th at 29 minutes, you know, of time of possession. They're not a time of possession team. They're just not a team that runs the ball. I mean, so 2018, you're looking at the Baltimore Ravens. They ran the ball. You know, the New England Patriots, they ran the ball. Chicago Bears, they ran the ball. Philadelphia Eagles were running the ball a lot last year. New Orleans Saints, they had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. You know what I mean? Those are the top five. Now you look at the teams this year, And it's, once again, all the teams that run the ball. Baltimore, San Francisco, New England, Seattle, Buffalo. These are all teams that run the ball. So, you know, when you're, you know, not possessing the ball for very long, it's going to end up hurting you. And I think if Andy is smart, he needs to realize, like, hey, listen, we need to get this time of possession up, because what teams are doing to us is they're out-possessing us, and then they're getting leads, and then they're just milking the clock, and we can't stop them.
And my thing with that, if he's smart, and I believe Andy Reid to be a smart head coach, the best running back on their team is LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
And watching any game that I've watched in Kansas City, he clearly looks like their best running back. I like Damian Williams, too. I think he's a nice pass-catching back out of the backfield, and obviously I think that's primarily what his duty would be. But I literally think they need to stop with the whole Darrell Williams stuff. I know he's been successful in the limited time he's played, but, you know, ride Shady. You know, use Damian Williams as more of a check-down guy. Like, even with that, like Kareem Hunt used to see a lot of work in the passing game. Even beginning of last year when Mahomes was still so good, Kareem Hunt was seeing a lot of work. Like, the receiving work from the running backs just isn't what they've done in, you know, in past years. Like, Andy's always been a master of the screens and getting the ball into Brian Westbrook's hands and, you know, Kareem Hunt, Jamal Charles. Like, that's what Andy's good at, and he just has not done it this year.
I think,
you know,
that has
running back.
And that's the reason why I like Damian Williams this week. I think Andy Reid realizes he needs to, you know what I mean? Like, if they can't run the ball because they're having issues with the offensive line, which they have, you know, I mean, you can clearly see that their offensive line has been an issue. You know what I mean, if you're watching the games, you know, if that's the case, you need to do these little check down bubble screens. Like, he's the master of the bubble screen, and you got Damian Williams, who's a great bubble screen quarterback. I mean, a running back, you know, so I don't understand why they're not using that as more of an extension of the offense. They seem to be wanting to go deep a lot, which they did last week too. You know what I mean? Last week they were going deep a lot. I did the game last week. So, you know, they were going deep a lot. And, you know, don't get me wrong, when you got Tyreek Hill, it's great to go deep, you know, a lot when you got a guy who runs. Tyreek, I'm sorry. Last week he was looking like he was running a 4-1. He was out. And I get it. You want to do that, but in the same time, you know, take some pressure off the quarterback, use the short passing game as you know, part of your running game, and, you know, like you did in Philly. Like, I don't understand why he's not doing that, but he's not. I mean, he's just not doing it.
Yep. So going into this week, you know, to me, like, if anything, I would say flex. You know, if you needed to use one of them as your flex, I guess it would go with Shady or Damian Williams. And, you know, if that's where you're leaning, but hopefully you have better issues. I mean, Damian Williams is getting into the end zone, but last week I think he had two touches in the game. He had one. Yep. Yeah. Shady McCoy,
two
I think last
no
week.
Had he literally had two touches, no other targets. One catch, Shady. One run.
Yep, Darrell Williams had one target, one catch for 51 yards, and Shady McCoy, I think, had eight carries. I don't know if he even had any catches. So
No. They
just did not utilize the running backs last week. So on Denver's side of the ball, how do you feel about the running backs? Obviously, you're starting Lindsey. You know, you talked about it last time when they played.
You're starting
played
Freeman tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You're starting Freeman against the Chiefs, too, because they're the –
yeah.
They're the second, or I wrote a blog on my blog. I actually broke down, you know, the defenses, and they are top three worst run defense in the entire league. Surprisingly, they're like middle of the road when it comes to pass defense, but they're like top three run defense. So both of these guys should theoretically have a good day. And they both catch out of the backfield. And I think this game's, you know, going to be fast moving. It's a primetime game. It's the Chiefs. You know, I know we say that a lot, and it always starts slow, and then it gets going toward, you know, second quarter, third, fourth quarter. But yeah, I like both of these backs in this one.
And that adds into it is what we were talking about what Steve was saying about time of possession. Like, that also adds into it that they cannot stop the run. So teams are just able to milk the game on them by running, getting first downs, keeping the clock moving, and possessing the ball. And, you know, you're taking deep shots down the field every time you get on offense. And if you don't score, you go three and out. Now you're handing the ball right back to that offense with a bad defense, and the clock just keeps moving. That's what's basically been happening to the Chiefs over the last couple of weeks. It happened in Indianapolis. You know, Marlon Mack had a big game, and Carlos Hyde had a big game last week. you know, what about the wide receivers? Courtland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders. I'm actually playing Emmanuel Sanders this week and hoping he has a bigger week for than the last one. I'm kind of forced into that. It's either him or Hollywood Brown, and Hollywood's kind of hurt. So I am in a position where I'm starting Emmanuel Sanders. What do you guys feel about the receivers?
Yeah, I like Sutton this week a lot. You know, he's going against Morris Claiborne. Morris Claiborne, we all know, is not the greatest of, you know, cornerbacks. You know, he's been bounced from team to team. You know, he was with the, you know, Cowboys. Then he went to the Jets. Now he's with the Chiefs. You know, he's just kind of been bouncing all over the league. So I like Sutton in this matchup. Sutton has been putting up some pretty consistent points. He's getting you, you know, 70 yards basically a game for the past, like, 4 weeks. So, you know, I mean, he's really not a guy that I, you know, you need to be scared of starting. Sanders I like this week. I mean, he's got a little bit of a tougher matchup with Ward. You know, Ward has been playing pretty good this year, but it's not a matchup that I'm really scared of. I mean, I think the only the only position that you can't start in this team is you know, Noah Fant, because he's just been so damn inconsistent, and it just doesn't seem to be part of the offense. You know, yeah, what I mean? Yeah. Deshaun Hamilton, you know, you're not starting him. You know what I mean? Joe Flacco, you're obviously not starting Flacco. But both the
two running backs and two receivers.
Yeah, two running backs, two receivers, and, you know, that's basically it for the Broncos. Because, you know, this is the thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what I mean? Like, the Broncos defense looked amazing last week against Tennessee. But I don't care what defense they go up against. You can't play that defense. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if it's the Bears. It doesn't matter if it's the Bills. You know, I don't. You know, the best defenses in the league are just not stopping Patrick Mahomes. It's just he's just too good, and teams know that. You know what I mean? I think he would have a tougher time with the Bills because the Bills' pass defense is great. But you know, it's just one of those deals. You know, you can't start the Denver Broncos. I know they did good for you last week, but that was literally a 1 week thing. You can't not play them.
There's a huge difference between the Titans and the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't, you just can't,
especially when Mariota's, you know,
I would say huge pulled. Isn't even the word to use.
Yeah. and that's the thing. I think some people take lock like that. They will, you know, play Denver and see how many points they got them last week. I think Denver was like a 20-point defense last week because they shut them out. You know what I mean? But you just don't do it to yourself. Don't play the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
All right. So that pretty much wraps up the preview. I think we did a, you know, bang up job on that. Got into it in depth. Let's get into our high players of the week. Quarterback, Dan, I'll start with you. You have Matty Ice as your high quarterback.
As bad as the Falcons have been, Matt Ryan's been good. I mean, it's this Falcons secondary, this Falcons defense that's been absolutely horrible and just increasingly getting worse and worse. I mean, but the Falcons, you know, Matt Ryan is doing whatever he can to keep them in games, and it just, you know, hasn't worked out in their favor. You know, they've been losing games 33-34, like this past week to the Cardinals. So, I mean, they're playing the Rams. This game should absolutely land in the 30s on both teams. I don't think either team's going to stop each other. So I do like Matty Ice in this one. I think, you know, I was watching a little bit of NFL Network right before we podcasted to see if I could find anything on Ramsey. And they said that, you know, he is there and they have hopes of him possibly starting on Sunday. But even if he does start, he's not acclimated to the system or anything like that yet. So I don't think that I don't think he's going to be in there for every snap count. So either way, I don't think it's make or break. If Ramsey's in there, I think Matty Ice has a big day on the secondary. They have, you know, no Peters, no Tlaib this week. He should definitely eat in this one.
Yeah, if anything, Ramsey's a, you know, great heads up, you know, corner. So he'll probably just be on Julio, and, you know, then they'll just worry about the rest. It's kind of what they do, you know, with Xavier Rhodes in Minnesota. Xavier Rhodes, you know,
Alshon had a great game against them, honestly.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, those guys don't really need to be acclimated to the defense. They just get on the best guy and make sure he doesn't do anything. That's basically it.
All right, Steve, you're next. You have Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I hate to say it because I know you guys are Eagles fans, but he, you know, this Eagles defense is just, they can't stop the pass at all. You know, it does worry me a little bit that Cooper is not playing in this game or may not play in this game. We don't really know yet. We'll have to find out to see. But, you know, if Cooper plays, we all remember what Cooper did last year. You know what I mean? 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, you know, Dak could have a really big game against this Eagles team. And this Eagles offense, this is the thing that I think makes this more of a Dak game than anything. This Eagles offense is better than it was last year. You know, especially if, you know, I know Deshaun Jackson isn't practicing today. They said they're going to, you know, see what's going on. But if he plays in this game, this could be the high of the week. This game could be the highest scoring game of the week. So I think even if he doesn't play, I think this game is probably going to have at least, I don't know. Dan, did you see what the over-under is on this? I would imagine it's over 50.
No, it's not. It's actually, I think it's in the 40s. Give me one sec. Yeah,
but you know, while Dan looks that up, I'll continue. You know, it could be
49, so it's close to 50. It's 49.
Yeah, so it's like it's almost a 50-point spread. Yeah. So you know, if they find out later in the week that Deshaun is playing, I guarantee you that gets up to 50 and more. You know, so you know, this is just be a high-scoring game. It's a Sunday night game. You know, it's going to be one of those things where you know, I think both teams are going to get off, and I think Dak. You know, we talked about it last week with the Redskins. You can't run on the Eagles. You just can't. So I think the Cowboys are smart enough to realize that, and they're going to go pass heavy.
All right. So guy I'm high on, I hate to say it, but it's Jared Goff. This is like the ultimate test, you know, for me. I said a while back, you know, Bill Belichick kind of, you know, he held them to 3 points in the Super Bowl. And the NFL, they are a copycat league. And if teams saw anything that – Bill Belichick did in that Super Bowl that might be able to hinder this Rams offense, you know, they will exploit it and continue to do that until Sean McVay figures it out. And literally from the beginning of the year, like this offense has just never seemed like it was clicking the way it has been the last couple of years. This is kind of a get right game. You know, Atlanta's defense has been allowing literally, you know, 300-yard game, 400-yard game. They allowed 227 and 3 touchdowns to Marcus Mariota. 300-yard game before that. Like, they've given up, you know, over 1,200 yards over the last 4 games. So, you know, this pass defense for Atlanta is literally just holes ever since Keanu Neal went out. And, you know, if Jared Goff can't, you know, go off on this defense, you know, you might have to really consider your other quarterback options.
Yep. All right,
Steve, you are up next. You'll start with you on running back. You have Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Derrick Henry this week for me is just, you know, last week, the Broncos basically said, we're not going to allow Derrick Henry to beat us. You know what I mean? They stopped them, you know, basically couldn't do anything. I do not think that is the case this week. I think that Derrick Henry actually is going to get used early and often against this Chargers defense. You know, I think that the Chargers defense showed last week they have a weakness in the run defense, and I think Tennessee is going to take full advantage of it. You know, it's, you know, Taylor Lewan last week, you know, he definitely I watched that game actually. Was it today? Yeah, this morning on my break, I was watching it because Kevin was saying how bad it was. So I just watched the first quarter. And Luan just, he looked like he was having troubles. So, you know, if Taylor Lewan gets his feet back under him, I don't think that this, you know, Los Angeles Chargers defense can stop, you know, Derrick Henry if he gets going. So, you know, I think Derrick Henry is going to be fed very early and often. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had, you know, upwards of, you know, 25 total touches in the game.
All right. You know, I like to hear that. My running back, I'm going to give 2. It's just the 49ers running backs. They go up against Washington this week. Yeah, Washington is not stopping anybody. You know, I their defense is terrible. Their offense is terrible. They're just not a very good team. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan, you know, he was the coach there before. He probably just wants to shove it up their rear end as well. So I could just see these, you know, 49er running backs going off. You probably can start both of them in this game. You know, it's just what it is. You know, they run that zone, the zone blocking scheme, and it's been successful for years. And, you know, they have two running backs that are literally designed for it, that scheme. So, you know, I think both of those 49er running backs go off this week, and I think you can start both of them.
Yeah, I agree. I got both of them in, you know, my top 24. It's going to be a good day for 49ers running back. It's going to be a good day for 49ers. They're going to win this one handily for sure.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to probably be up by so much. You know, I wouldn't even be surprised if Raheem Mostert,
yeah,
you know, get some love at the end of the game.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised about that either. Dan, you are high on your guy, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, haven't really picked him much this year on our high lows, but you know, when you have a matchup like this staring you right in the eyes, it's pretty easy. You know, I like everybody on this Jaguars offense on this one. It's the Bengals. I mean, you know, we've said before, this Bengals offense, I mean, kind of in the same boat as Atlanta, you know. A lot of this Bengals players have not been bad on offense, you know. Dalton has not been bad. Boyd's having a good year. Mixon's turned it on recently. You know, I mean, the offense is doing what it can, but this defense is so bad that, I mean, you have to just love matchups like this. I mean, when you have a guy like Fournette who has, you know, very easily gets 20 to 30 carries a game, I think he's going to get, I mean, the only thing that scares me in this one is it's the Jaguars. They don't have a really incredible offense, so I don't think that they get up huge on the Bengals. I think it actually would be a lot closer game here. But, you know, if they do get up huge and end up sitting some starters and whatnot, but I don't think that's the case. I think Fournette definitely has 20, he's in for 20, 25 touches, you know, 100 yards easy, and a touchdown or two for sure.
All right, so I will start off the wide receivers. I got Larry Fitz. They play the Giants this week. The Giants can't stop anybody. You know, their offensive line will get some pressure on Kyler Murray, but, you know, he's elusive. He'll be able to get out of it. You know, we don't know what's going on with Christian Kirk. We just, you know, read in the news that he's still in the rehab process. You know, their other receivers are very hit or miss, you know, and most of the time they're misses. You know, a lot of this offense has really been run through David Johnson in the passing game and Larry Fitzgerald in the passing game. So in this one against the Giants, who just, you know, don't have a good defense out there, I think Larry Fitz is eating this week. All right. So, Dan, you're up next with your receiver, Cortland Sutton. We talked about him a little bit on, you know, the Thursday night game. Why don't you break him down a little more?
Yeah, I mean, he's been he's been the best receiver on Denver. We, you know, the way that Emmanuel Sanders looked preseason and then even that, you know, first game or two, Sutton's been consistent all year and he's been coming on stronger, you know, the last few weeks too. So, you know, against this Chiefs defense that just can't stop anybody, I think he's going to have a really good game. I mean, I think the running backs are going to have a good game. I think he's going to have a good game. I mean, I think Emmanuel Sanders is definitely going to be relevant. So, you know, Sutton's someone that, you know, by now his name's out there, you know, he's not shocking anybody. So you definitely, you know, if you had him, you probably started him the last few weeks. And, I think he definitely will go for, you know, 8 catches, 90 yards, 100 yards, hopefully get in the end zone.
All right, Steve, your wide receiver is Brandon Cooks.
He's overdue.
Yeah. So, and that's basically why I'm taking him. You know, I mean, this to me, this is the get right game for the Rams. I mean, I just don't see how they don't score a lot of points. And the way to score a lot of points on the Falcons is by throwing the ball. So, you know, I just don't think that, you know, Isaiah Oliver can stick with Brandon Cooks. So I think he gets at least 3 deep shots in this game. I think he converts on at least 2 of them, and I could see him with definitely over 100 yards and a touchdown in this game. You know, they need to get him going because, you know, he last year, if you watched the Rams last year, their X factor was not only Todd Gurley, it was the, you know, ability to get deep with Brandon Cooks. You know, teams were just terrified of Cooks beating them deep, which was helping Robert Woods over the middle. You know, the play action was just working because Brandon Cooks was getting deep and, you know, they were running the ball well. So I think in this game, they're going to be able to do whatever they want, and they really need to, you know, take some deep shots. And I think, you know, the guy that's going to get a couple of deep shots this week and convert them is Cook.
All right. Yeah, I can see that happening. I'm hoping it's Robert Woods more. But, you know, definitely wouldn't mind, you know, a big passing game from the Rams. I need Jared Goff to reassure me that he has top 10 quarterback potential. All right, we'll get into the tight ends now. Dan, you started off. Evan Engram.
Yeah, back from an injury, and he's got a great matchup playing against the Cardinals. I know, if you know, it just seems like that I'm going after these rough defenses, but these games are just going so high. You know, I mean, all these Bengals games, these Cardinals games.
Point of fantasy.
Yeah,
point of fantasy is to find the best matchup and exploit it. You know,
yeah, and it's all a numbers game.
It
is, and we've been hitting on them really last few weeks. And I think we're the three of us are all coming into a nice groove here because we've been picking these guys that have been, you know, very relevant. And I think, you know, I don't think the missed time is going to hurt Evan Engram at all. I got him as my number third. I'm finished, you know, working on my ranks a little bit before we started our podcast. And I got him as I did my quarterbacks and tight ends first. I got him as my number three. And he's just too talented, you know, and against his Cardinals team, you know, the Cardinals have, as I said it a few weeks ago, they were by far the worst defense stopping the tight end. And, you know, couple tight ends didn't go crazy bananas on him like, you know, the first 4 weeks. But I think that this is where, you know, they're in for a long day with Evan Engram because he is a handful. Not to mention that Saquon Barkley's back, you know, so they're going to be able to move the ball, you know, not just with Engram, but with Barkley. You know, I think the Giants, I don't think they come away with the win. I think that the Cardinals actually were going to pull this one off, you know. I like the Cardinals in this one, but I do like I do like Evan Engram to have himself a nice day.
Yep. Every week, the tight end who plays Cardinals is going to be in one of our lists. Steve, you're up next. Darren Waller is your tight end.
Yeah. This is just an easy pick. Darren Waller has been basically the most targeted tight end other than Travis Kelce when he's out there. So I want the guy that's getting a lot of targets. And, you know, I don't think that changes this week, especially because Terrell Williams is dealing with, you know, turf toe or plantar fasciitis. I'm sorry, plantar fasciitis. And, you know, Kev said he's had that. I've had it too. It's terrible. It hurts like a bitch. And, you know, I think Waller is targeted once again more than anyone else on the team. And with those targets, he's been producing. I said this a couple weeks ago, if he, you know, was scoring touchdowns with as many targets and yards that he's getting and catches, he would be the number one tight end in fantasy football. He's just not scoring touchdowns. So if he, you know, if he gets off and has a game where he scores two touchdowns, he will be the number one scoring tight end in fantasy. So, you know, I just think he's a guy that you play every single week, and there's no question.
Yep, I totally agree. You know, Darren Waller is an absolute monster. My guy is Mark Andrews, another monster. You know, Seattle is giving up fourth most fantasy points to tight ends. You know, there is no really other option if Hollywood Brown is not out there. You saw it last week. You know, Lamar Jackson was either running or throwing to Mark Andrews. Andrews had a nice little line. I think it was, what, eight for 99, I believe it was. Was that what it was?
I think that sounds right.
Let me check to make sure 100% here. He had 6 for 99. So, you know, he's going to get a ton of looks. You know, he does all the time. But with Hollywood Brown out there, possibly not being there. You know, there's literally not a lot of targets to go around. Like, they pretty much rely on Andrews for the whole offense. And if Andrews isn't open, you know, Lamar's taking off. So, you know, I got Mark Andrews. I think he's, you know, going to have another big week. And that's pretty much it for our high guys. Let's move on to the start sit questions. Steve, you got any?
Yeah, I got a bunch of them. So,
We're going to do, we'll do like 15, 20 minutes of start seeing questions.
Sounds good. All right, so we have Bobby D. Paul, 17-12. Half PPR, am I starting Mixon, Latavius Murray, or Chase Edmonds? He needs one at full PPR. He says, this is his reasoning, and then we'll, I guess, you know, go with that. He says, he said, Edmonds is an auto play if Johnson sits. Same with Lat Murray for, you know, Kamara. And then Mixon is terrible.
Yeah, I'm starting Mixon still, unless David Johnson or Kamara don't play.
Yeah, David Johnson is probably going to play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got a different injury now. Now it's an ankle. He's dealing with a back and an ankle. So you never know. They might want to rest him. But more than likely, if those, I think those other, Kamara, I would say, is more the guy I'd be worried about not playing. And if Kamara doesn't play, I said this the other day, Latavius Murray looked like an animal running the football in that game against Jacksonville. He literally looked hungry. So I'm definitely starting Latavius Murray if Alvin Kamara is out. But if all three of those guys are, you know, if everybody's healthy and all their, you know, other running backs on their team are healthy, I'm probably going Mixon just because I think he's going to get the most work.
Yeah, I agree. I like same thing. Saints seem to be a much better team than the Bengals. And move the ball a lot better. You know, Mixon's had a rough go. You know, we've mentioned it plenty of times. Mixon's had a rough go this year. But if Kamara's in there, Kamara's getting 70% of the loads, which means Murray's only going to get, you know, limited. And as of right now, you know, the Bengals need all the help they can get to try to, you know, pull a win out. So they're going to keep on riding Mixon until he, you know, he's all they have really besides, you know, their receiving core and Dalton. So I like same thing Kev said.
Yeah, I'm not gonna elaborate too much because I want to get through a bunch of these questions. So, you know, I would definitely go Mixon, but if the other two guys sit, who I would rather have? Let's say both guys sit, I would rather have Latavius Murray.
Me too.
All right, so, Kwale 77, Mark Andrews or Hunter Henry, full PPR.
Andrews.
Yep.
Hunter Henry will not duplicate that game.
That was his best game.
It was a great game. It was in garbage time, a lot of it. I mean, he had a decent, you know, he had the one touchdown in, you know, before the garbage time touchdown, but it was just a great game for him. And I don't think that's going to be duplicated.
Yep. I agree. So that's consensus, all three of us. All right. We have a trade question I liked. So, the trade question is from Hissing Dragon 15. He asks, Aaron Jones or Darren Waller for Tyreek Hill, Hunter Henry? If I'm the guy giving up Aaron Jones and Darren Waller, I'm not taking this trade.
Aaron Jones and Darren Waller for Hunter Henry?
Tyreek Hill, Hunter Henry.
See, this...
If I need a wide receiver and...
Yeah, I was going to say this is all about your team, man. If you need a receiver, because I feel like almost Hunter Henry and Darren Waller at this point are almost a wash.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think one is better than the other. I think they're both going to be very good, solid tight ends. Waller may be a little bit more reliable just because of Henry's injury history, but I think from a value standpoint, they're basically the same. So basically, you're trading Tyreek Hill for Aaron Jones, and it just becomes all about what you need. If you need a receiver, I would take the trade. If you need a running back, I would keep Aaron Jones. You know, it's all about what your team needs.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, if I need a wide receiver, you know, I would like to know what your other running backs are when you're giving up Aaron Jones. But, you know, I'm going to assume that you have two other good running backs. You know, maybe you went running back heavy in the first four rounds because Aaron Jones going late third, early fourth. So, you know, I would assume that he's your third best running back. And if that's the case, then I would do that for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
All right. So, NB44 asks, T.Y. Hilton, Tyler Lockett, DJ Chark, Julian Edelman. I have to start three.
All right. So, read them. We got
Lockett. Hilton. Yeah, we got Hilton, Lockett, Chark, Edelman. And Hilton's playing the Texans, Lockett's playing Baltimore, Chark is playing the Bengals, and Edelman is playing the Jets. So for me, this is pretty easy. I'm sitting Lockett of those.
Yeah, me too.
Of those four.
Me too. Yeah, I like the matchups. You know, I know you. I was reviewing one of your articles, Steve, and you know about the cornerback and wide receiver matchups, and Berg, you know, you said that T.Y. just really has monster days against the Texans.
He destroys.
Yeah, so you don't want to sit T.Y. if he's got a team that he likes to go off against, he's got to be in your lineup. The Jets, although they looked much improved, you know, you still got to play Edelman. I always think you got to play Edelman. He's just a target machine, and Chark has a great matchup. Chark's going to be high on everyone's ranks this week because his matchup is awesome.
Yeah, you know, for me, I'll
probably sit Lockett, but I think if it was PPR, I would go with Edelman, and if it was standard, I would go with Lockett and sit Edelman.
I got you. For the touchdown upside?
Yeah.
Big play upside, too.
All right, so the next question is from Ryan Fantasy Football. He asked a question last week. Is there another one? Thielen, Cooks, or Galladay, pick two PPR. So, well, I guess you guys already know that I'm going Cooks.
Yeah.
And then to me, Galladay and Thielen, I have them like really close, but I think I'm going to go Galladay this week. See, that's tough.
I'm going with Thielen.
Yeah, I see, that's tough because, see, the Vikings have freaking. Thielen's been like much better than Diggs, but against Detroit, I don't know. I think it's probably going to be Slay on Thielen.
Yeah.
And I think I trust Slay to slow Thielen down enough.
More than Rhodes slowing down Galladay.
Yeah, but like you said last week,
but that's what I'm saying.
But that's what I'm saying.
I don't want to bench any of them three.
But I know, right? But this is the thing. Like we saw what Alshon did to you know, Rhodes last week, and I think Galladay is a much better receiver at this point than Alshon. So I'm gonna go with Galladay.
Yeah, I think I'm going Thielen. We'll see. We'll see how that one turns out. That's a close one though.
That's a close one. All right, so we have Shane 38-36. We have Eckler and Etler. Eckler or Sutton, full PPR.
Sutton for me.
Yeah. After what I saw last week, I don't think you can trust, you know, Eckler at all. I don't think you can touch this Chargers offense until they figure something out. I don't know what's going on with this offense.
Yeah, you got to play Keenan Allen, but other than that, it's hard.
Yeah, because after watching that game on Thursday or on Sunday night, it just – I didn't take anything from that game that made me confident in this Chargers offense. Like, they couldn't run the ball, you know, they couldn't really pass the ball. You know, Phillip Rivers, you know, he has those kinds of games where he just looks terrible and then comes back and has a great game. But, you know, Eckler in that game really, he just wasn't used as much as, you know, he's been being used. And, you know, I think
Melvin Gordon ran more routes than Austin Eckler.
I think they're going to try to get Gordon going.
Yeah, that's what I think they're doing too. I think it was to their detriment because they had a nice little groove going with Eckler and Justin Jackson. Problem is Justin Jackson got hurt and Gordon came back, and obviously you're going to throw Melvin Gordon out there. But they had a groove going, and they kind of interrupted that groove to bring back Gordon. And, you know, they haven't looked right the last couple weeks since he's been back. So I agree. You know, I'm going with Sutton just because, you know, you can't trust that Chargers offense right now. I mean, obviously you're starting, you know, Keenan Allen, but that's probably about it. Probably Hunter Henry. But I don't think you're starting Mike Williams, at least not if you want to, not if you can help yourself.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah, I'm definitely going Sutton. I already made that point.
All right. So this is actually a good quarterback question. So Tweezy07, and when you first read this question, you're kind of like, no, this is easy. But now that I'm looking at the matchups, it is definitely a little bit harder. So it's Tweezy07 asks Minshew or Daniel Jones this week. And at first glance, when you listen to that, you know, you hear, you know, those two quarterbacks, and Minshew's been way better than Jones. But
Jones has the Cardinals. Still, man, Minshew has the Bengals. I like Minshew.
Yeah, I think that's much closer. And Saquon comes back. Yes,
Saquon comes back. They're going to be feeding that dude, man.
Yeah, I think. But that's the thing. They've passed the ball to Saquon. Saquon is one of those, you know, touch the ball once, get a 60-yard touchdown. So it's a little bit hard, closer to me than, you know, at first glance, but. I agree with Kev. I just think this is a get-right game for Minshew. I mean, last week he looked terrible. I think this week, you know, going up against the Bengals, they're going to – I would be surprised, really, really surprised if they didn't crush the Bengals. I think DJ Chark has a huge game.
Don't tell me that.
I think so. All right, so we got time for, like, two more questions. All right, should I start – Tate or Gore in my flex full PPR? To me, that's pretty simple. I would start Tate in PPR because just
or, you know, getting any catches.
And yeah,
Gore's Devin Singletary's coming back. He's obviously going to be a part of their game plan. You know, we've seen how electric the kid is, so I would definitely start Golden Tate.
Yeah, I just. You know,
nobody else.
Not.
Well, I guess, you know, they do have Ingram coming back and Barkley, but
yeah.
Oh, there's no other receivers there outside of Tate. You know, everybody else kind of is.
Yeah, I like Tate over Gore. I think Gore's going to get, you know, his normal work, but with Singletary coming back for sure, like you guys pointed on, he's gonna eat into that load a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and I know Gore's playing against the Dolphins, so yeah, I mean, you would probably think that Gore's going to have a huge game. You know, I mean, he did play for the Dolphins, so you know, I know.
He might have a little.
Yeah, he might have a like a little revenge game, but I don't think he left on bad terms there. They just, you know what I mean? He just kind of
took off. Happy to get the hell out of there.
Exactly. So, you know, I definitely would rather go the other way on that one. All right, so I like this one. This is by Mechanic, and he asks Philip Lindsay or Marlon Mack in full PPR. That is definitely a little bit closer than I would anticipate. The Houston Texans are better at stopping the run than the pass, and Mack is not used in the passing game. So, you know, yeah, I think it's much closer, but you know, Mack is definitely probably going to get more touches.
Good. You can't sit him. You can't. I don't even like if you're doing that, you must have some solid flexes because
Mack as your flex. That's sweet.
Yeah.
I'm probably going Mac, but just by a hair, because I think Philip Lindsay has a big game.
I do think it's close. I think they both, especially because Philip Lindsay definitely catches the ball. Like, you know, he's going to get 3-4 catches a game. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. The Houston's defense is giving up like 73 yards a game rushing the football. You know, so I could see Mac having a very nice day. You know, 80, 90 yards and a touchdown.
All right, so this will be – we'll do two more because we got, 3 minutes. All right, so if Kamara doesn't play, do I play Coleman or Sony Michel, PPR?
Coleman.
For me, it's Coleman. I'm not worried about – I'm not starting Sony anymore if I can help it, honestly. Yeah. I just
– Nah, yeah, you got to start Coleman with this matchup. He's looked awesome.
All right, and this one I actually like. This is from – Adrian Maul, and it's Kirk, Chark, or Fuller, full PPR.
Chark.
Yeah, I mean, it's at, I'm sorry, it's start two. I need two of them.
Two?
Yeah.
I'm going Fuller. You know, the Colts, Texans games last year were very high scoring games.
Yes.
So I think this is a good, you know, this is going to be a good, you know, game for points. You know, I do know that the quarterback situation is different for Indianapolis, and, you know, they tend to run the ball a little more. But, you know, Christian Kirk does – I don't even know if Christian Kirk's playing. They said he's still in the rehab process. So if he's not ready to play, I mean, that kind of answers your question for you. But, you know, even still, when he comes back, you know, he doesn't have a good matchup, but, you know, I'm throwing Fuller out there and hoping for the best, because if you do throw Kirk out there and there's a setback, you know, you turn around and get a zero, and you know that kind of shit can cost you your week.
Yeah, right. Of course, Chark's a definite, but I'm not sitting a guy that's, you know, 2 weeks removed from the highest fantasy football game probably of the year so far. So you got to keep Fuller out there.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it comes down to the matchups, and I just think Fuller has a great matchup this week. You know, going up against Pierre Desir, he's not been bad, but he's not been good enough to stick with Fuller's speed. And I think Fuller, you know, like I said last week, if Fuller catches even one of those long bombs that was thrown his way, his day looks a whole lot better. So I don't think that Deshaun is going to stop throwing him long, deep throws. I think they convert on those more often than they don't. And I think he gets a pretty long touchdown in this game, definitely. So that's it for me, Chark and Fuller.
Sounds good.
All right. That should be it. That should wrap us up for the night. Remember, don't forget to check us out on our website, www.4thandinchesff.com. It's www.4thandinchesff.com for a bunch of content, articles, blogs, player profiles, rankings, VIP content. And don't forget to hit Stevie P up in the, you know, podcast. What is it? Podcast comments?
Yeah,
podcast.
Show note. In the show notes, there's
show
a note. Yeah,
podcast show.
Yeah, in the show notes, there's a link to the game. If you can't click the link, depending on what platform you're using, some platforms are not allowing you to click the link. But if you just highlight the link, copy it, and put it in your URL, you know, and then just click it, it'll send you right to the 4th and Inches Fantasy Football league. And then you just enter it, put in your $2, throw in a lineup, and see if you win some money.
There you go. Yep. And a little bit of breaking news. Raiders just signed Darren Waller to a contract extension through 2023. So there you have it.
Boom.
There you have it. 2023, Darren Waller will be a Raider. Until next time, peace out, guys.
Peace. Later.